Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Narayanam namaskrityam naram chaiva narottamam devim sarasvatim vyasam tato jayamudire. Nashta prayesho vadresho nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati uttama shloke bhaktir bhavati naishtiki. Krishnaya vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya cha Nandagopa Kumaraya Govindaya Namo Namaha Namo Nalina Netraya Venubadya Vinodine Radhadhar Sudhapana Shaline Vanamaline Mahabhava Swarupastvam Krishna Priya Variyasi Prima Bhakti Pradedevi Radhikatvam Namostute.
So we'll continue from the Chapter 9 of Third Canto, Brahma's Prayer for Creative Energy. As last Saturday we have discussed that if you want to see their Lordship, then what is the best way to do that? Yes. You can see Him through hearing. And then, after hearing from an authoritative source, it purifies our heart, and once heart is purified, then Lord, who is there in our heart, becomes visible for us. And Prabhupada says that for the pseudo devotees, Lord is not their order supply, that you go ask Him and He will provide it for you. But He is always prepared to respond to the desires of pure devotee. And that pure devotee means who is unconditional and who is free from all the tinges of material infections. Then further, Brahmaji, he explains whom Lord gets pleased with and whom He never gets pleased with. He says, Nati prasidati tathopacharito upacharaihi raradhita suraganaihi hriddigbaddha kamaihi yat sarva bhuta dayaya sadalabhyayaiko nana janeshwa avahitaha surudha antaratmana. Text number 12. He says here that my Lord, you are not very much satisfied by the worship of the demigods who arrange for your worship very pompously with various paraphernalia, but who are full of material hankerings. You are situated in everyone's heart as the super soul just to show your causeless mercy, and you are the eternal well-wisher. But you are unavailable for the non-devotees. Sometimes what happens, people, they think that if we worship the Lordship with the grand ingredients, if they are capable, they're supposed to, but that's not satisfies Him. Because sometimes to show their own prosperity or show their own aristocracy, they provide better things. But what is the motive behind that?
Sure.
To show off. With that show off, as clearly Brahmaji says, what to speak of a common living being, but even the demigods, because demigods are considered as a sakama bhakta. Sakama bhakta means? Who are desiring for material sense gratification. As yesterday we were discussing that Maharaj Kulashekhar, he says that Ramya Rama Mridutanu Laka Nandane Napin Rantu. Pure devotee, he never desires the topmost sense gratification which is available in the heavenly planets, which is enjoying the heavenly beauty. He is not desirous of that. But demigods, they do. They have that desire. That's why the living entity who performs the pious activities on this earthly planet as a human being, result of that he gets birth, next birth in heavenly planets. But again what happens? Kshine punya marte lokam vishanti. His pious credits, when they get burnt out, he falls down in this material world. And the cause of his fall down is material hankering again. So the person whose heart is full of material hankerings, Lord is never gets pleased with them. Even though he is a well-wisher and he stays in everyone's heart, but it's not that because he is pleased with them, that's why he is residing in their heart. As he explains in the 4th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, text number 11. Ye yathamam prapadyante tam stataiva bhajamyaham. Although the Lord equally kind to every living being, the living beings, for their own part, are able to please the Lord to either a greater or lesser extent. It depends upon their capacities to serve the Lord with a devotion. How much or what percentage that they have for unconditional devotion, in that reciprocation, Lord reciprocates with them. Prabhupada, he says here, the Lord is so satisfied with his pure devotees that he wants to give them the credit for missionary success. Although he could do the work personally, this is the sign of his satisfaction with his pure nishkam devotees compared to the sakam devotees like a demigods. By such a transcendental activities, the Lord simultaneously becomes free from the charge of partiality and exhibits his pleasure with devotees. The now question arises, if Lord is sitting in everyone's heart, especially in the non-devotee's heart, why are they not moved to become devotees? That's a common question actually. People, they think if Lord resides in everyone's heart, then why sinful people, they commit sin and Lord never resists them or protests them that they should not do it. Why is it so? Prabhupada says, it may be answered that the stubborn non-devotees are like the barren land or alkaline field where no agricultural activities can be successful. As a part and parcel of the Lord, every individual living entity has a minute quantity of independence. And by misuse of this minute independence, the non-devotees commit offense after offense to both the Lord and his pure devotees engaged in missionary work. As a result of such an act, they become as barren as alkaline field, where there is no strength to produce. In one of the songs, Narottam Das Thakur says, Tomasthane aparade tare harina. Haristhane aparade tare harina. Tomasthapa sthane aparade nahi paritrana. If someone commit offense to the Lord, by chanting the holy name of Lord, one can get rid of that. But if someone commits offense to the pure devotee of the Lord, then there is no way to get rid of that. Unless and until that person takes shelter of that pure devotee. And what is the great example for that?
Ambarish Maharaj.
Ambarish Maharaj or Durvasa? Because Lord says that Aham Bhakta Paradhino. Lord, he himself, even though in the first verse of Bhagavatam it is said that he is a Swarat, totally independent, no one can control me. But he says, I get controlled by my own devotee's devotion. He gets sold out for that. And if someone commit offense to such a devotee, then what will happen to him? andhatamah praveshanti. They will enter into the darkest region of hell. Then the next verse, Brahmaji, he says, okay, if Lord is not pleased with their opulent way of worship, as well as their material hankerings in their heart, then what will happen, whatever they have done to that? The next verse he explains about that. He says, Pumsam mato vidhikarma bhir radhyai danin cho ugra tapasa paricharyayacha aradhanam bhagavat stavasat kriyartho dharmo arpitaha karhchit mriyate na yatra. He says, mriyate na yatra. It never gets vanquished. Means it never goes west. It has some use. And what is that? He says that, but the pious activities of the people, such as a performer of Vedic rituals, charity, austerity, penances, and transcendental service, performed with a view to worship you and satisfy you by offering you the fruitive results, are also beneficial. Such acts of a religion never go in vain. And that's why in the Bhagavad Gita, Lord says that Yajnadana Tapakarma Pavanani Manishinaha. Yajna, fire sacrifice, Dana, charity, Tapaha, austerity, that never goes in vain. Because that is the thing through which the human being can get purified. Even though you have a material desires in your heart and you perform these activities, you get purified with that. Because Lord ultimately gets pleased with what? What do you offer, or what way or what mood you offer, what he accepts? In Padyavali, there is a nice verse that says, what really satisfies, or what really Lord needs from you? He says, Vyadhasya acharanam dhruvasya vayo vidya gajendrasya kaha kubjaya kimanama rupa guna adhikam kimtat sudamnodhanam vamsha kaha vidurasya yadavopate ugrasya kimpavurusham. Bhaktya tushyati kevalam nacha gunaihi bhakti priyo madhavaha. What satisfies their lordship? Some they think, I should be civilized, you know. But then he asks question. Vyadhasya acharanam. Vyadha means hunter. Where does he live?
Forest.
So what sort of civilization he follows? He is aborigine, or we can call him as a uncivilized. And there are two great Vyadhas who are considered for their devotion. By their devotion they satisfied the Lord. Who are those? One is Ratnakar, who became Valmiki, and the other? Mrigari. So both, they satisfied their lordship, not by their behavior, but the instruction that they took it from their spiritual master and followed in their life, and they pleased their lordship. Then few people, they think that maybe I should be erudite scholar, you know. I should be a scholarly person. I should have so many degrees. Then only Lord will get pleased with me. He says, Vidya Gajendrasya ka. Did Gajendra went to Cambridge University? Or Rice or OYO? Which university has gone? Nowhere. But he pleased their lordship. By what? Prayers that he offered. Then few people, they think that I should be of mature age, you know. I should be like a 50s or after 40s when I get really mature. Then I should do devotion and then Lord will get pleased with me. Dhruvasya cha vayo. What was the age of Dhruva?
55.
55? Huh?
5 years old.
He was just 5 years old and he attended. He saw their lordship standing right in front of him. Few people, they think that I should be beautiful, you know. I should be most attractive. Then Lord will get attracted to me. Then he asked, Kubjaya kim rupa, kim guna rupa. What was the qualities and beauty that Kubja had? The word Kubja, it means hunchback. She was hunchbacked, ugly looking woman, but she also pleased their lordship. Few people, they think that I should have enough money, you know. Then Lord will get pleased with me. Kim tat sudam no dhanam. How much wealth that Sudama had that Lord got attracted to him? When he came to meet their lordship, he was not having a handful of grains even. For that he has to go 5 different houses and beg. So he got a 5 different varieties of grains. And then he came to meet their lordship in Advarka. But Lord got pleased with him. Then few people, they think I should be born in Brahmin family. Very aristocratic, learned, erudite Brahmin family. Then it's possible for me to attend the Lord. Then he asked question, Vamshaka Vidurasya. In which dynasty Vidura was born? Even though he was a son of Srila Vedavyasa, but he was born from whom?
A maid servant,
Dasi Putra. Throughout the life, he was neglected, offended, insulted because he was a son of maid servant. But what was his title? Mahatma Vidhu. And as per the Bhagavad Gita, who is Mahatma? Mahatmanastu mam partha daivim prakritim ashritaha. Who has taken shelter of the internal and transcendental potency of the Lord. So that is called as a Mahatma. And Vidurji, even though he was born of a maid servant, was known as a Mahatma. And Lord got satisfied with him. That's why when we offer Bhoga, we say that Vidurasse grihe pritya yata bhuktam janardana tateva bhukta naivyadyam mai natha kripam karo. Oh my Lord, as you have honored whatever Vidura has given at his home, so same way, please all, take this, whatever I offered to you, and be merciful on it. So, Vamshaka Vidurasya. Some people, they think, I should be powerful, you know. I should be influential person. Then he says, Yadhavopate Ugrasya Kim Paurusham. Yadupati, the master of Yadu dynasty. What's his name? Right, just now I said that. Ugrasen was the king of Yadu dynasty, but he was thrown into the jail by his son, Kansa. So what was his Paurusha? Nothing. Then further he says, Bhaktiya tushyati kevalam nacha gunaihi bhakti priyo madhavaha. It's not by your qualities, not by your things, not by your possessions, not by your position that Lord gets pleased or satisfied with you. But he gets satisfied with you, the degree of devotion that you have for him. He is pleased with that. And then further, in the text 14, Brahmaji says, Shashvat Swarupam Hasyaiva Nipita Vedamahaya Bodhadhishanaya Namah Parasmai Vishvod Uphat Stitilayeshu Nimitta Leela Rasayate Nama Idam Chakrumeshwaraya. Now he is saying that who is Lord actually? I'm offering my obeisances to that personality of a Godhead who is eternally distinguished by his internal potency. His indistinguishable impersonal feature is realized by intelligence for self-realization. I offer my obeisances unto him who, by his pastimes, enjoys the creation, maintenance, and dissolution of the cosmic manifestation. Here he says about the impersonal feature of the Lord. How one can attain that impersonal feature? He says that by intelligence for self-realization. The person who is interested in the self-realization, the first feature of the Lord that he can realize, that is impersonal feature, Brahmajyoti. And that same Lord, he says, takes the different forms.
Yasya avatara gunakarma vidambanani namani ye suvigame vivasha gananti te anaika janma shamalam sahasaiva hitva sayantya apabhratam vratam tamajam prapatte.
Let me take shelter of the lotus feet of him whose incarnations, qualities and activities are mysterious imitation of worldly affairs. One who invokes his transcendental names, even unconsciously at the time of death or quit this life, is certainly washed immediately of the sins. Is certainly washed immediately of the sins of many, many births and attains him without fail. So here he is glorifying their lordship for his incarnations, for his activities, and the glory of his name. He clearly says here, te aneka janma shamalam sahasarva hitva sayanti apavritam amritam tamajam prapatte. If someone remembers the holy name of their lordship at the time of death, then what happens? It certainly gets immediately washed off of all the sins, mala, aneka janma, the many, many births, whatever sinful activities that he has performed, all they get washed off just by remembering the name of the Lord at the time of death. See, you will find the same principles what has explained in Bhagavad Gita are illustrated with the examples and the stories in Srimad Bhagavatam. In the 8th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, what he says? Yam yam vapi smaran bhavam tyajanti ante kalevaram tam tameveti kaunteya sada tadbhava bhavita. At the time of death, whatever consciousness that one possesses and whatever he remembers, he attains that same state of a consciousness in his next birth. And that's why he says, antakale cha mameva smaran utva kalevara. At the time of death, if someone remembers their lordship, then it becomes easy for him to get rid of kalevaram, this material world, which is full of... Oh, really? Wow. Which is full of miseries. Dukhalayam ashashvatam, which is a temporary and full of sufferings. So from these four verses, we can understand that who cannot satisfy the Lord? Cannot satisfy the Lord. Huh? Materialistic person or person who has a lot of material hankerings in his heart, they can't satisfy the Lord. Second thing, what will happen to their endeavor? Will that go waste? What will happen? That will help them to get purified. And once they get purified, it becomes easy to take up a ninefold devotional service, Navavida Bhakti. Even though it is meant for everyone, but nobody takes that because heart is not pure. And when they perform such activities, pious activities, that purifies their heart and they get inclined to take devotional service. What's the fourth thing? Who can attain the impersonal realization? The person who has an intelligence for a self-realization can attain the impersonal feature of the Lord. And what will happen if you remember the Lordship at the time of death? Precisely what you have heard now.
He will go back to Krishna.
Tukkan mat maro.
He will go back to Krishna without fail. He'll be cleared of all the sins.
Exactly. What was today's topic? Aneka janma malam. He will get rid of all the mala contamination that he is carrying for the birth after birth. That will get purified when he remembers at the time of the death the glorious name of the Lordship. I think all we are alive. True? So we can chant the name of Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Sri Krishna Chandra Bhagavan ki jai.